Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the, I'll call it the Friday episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thanks for checking in with us. Tell a friend if you enjoy the show.
Yeah, you should have already.
And by the way, today's show is going to be a little bit different. Well, it's going to be incredibly different than what you're used to. Because Jason and I are going to do a bit of an old improv thing. Basically, this is sort of something you do with the improv to like get a monologue at the beginning.
Yeah.
That you then do scenes off of.
Yeah.
We're not going to do scenes, probably. Well, we might. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
It's like improv. There's no rules here. We're going to do whatever we want, other than yes and.
The
only rules are yes and.
And you can yes and with a no.
It's true, you can. You can? Yes, I can. If you like that, let us know. Just shoot us a little note on Twitter, at Nate Darling. Or reach out on Facebook or whatever. Reach out to me. Reach out to Jason. Go, hey, that sounded really cool. Let's do more of that. Or don't ever do that again.
Don't.
That's not why I listen to you assholes.
Where is the news?
Either way, I want to hear about the idiotic, moronic nonsense that's going on. I want to hear you doing your Alex Jones impression where you're angry about something for no particular reason, where you get angrier and angrier and your voice goes crazy. Bah! Where was that?
Nate just tore his shirt off.
A little bit. I think I just tore a blood vessel in my face. So, that's what this show's gonna be. It's gonna be, kind of a free form thing. And, it's fun to do things a little bit differently from time to time. So basically, here's what's going to happen. Jason and I are gonna go back and forth. I'm going to give Jason a word, and then he is going to tell a story, a true story, based off of that word. Now, it doesn't have to be about that word in particular. It could remind him of something else that takes him down another path. But it all has to tie back into the word that I give him. And then when he's done his story, we'll talk about it a little bit, and then he'll give me a word and I'll do the same thing. And if this were a real improv thing, it would be a competition. But it's not. It's a podcast. Hey, I don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You, sir, a master. I ain't going to mess with that. So let's just get into it, shall we?
Sure.
Shall we? Oh, but first, go ahead and do your Amazon shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Thanks. All right, Jason, before I give you the word, I have a little bit of music to set it up.
I call this one the Campfire Song. Let's gather around the campfire and sing our campfire song. Our C-A-M-P-F-I-R-E-S-O-N-G song. And if you don't think that we can sing it faster, then you're wrong. But it'll help if you just sing along.
Bum, bum,
bum. C-A-M-P-F-I-R-E-S-O-N-G song.
If
you don't think that we can sing it faster, then you're wrong. But it'll help if you just sing along.
C-A-M-P-F-I-R-E-S-O-N-G
song. Patrick!
Song!
C-A-M-P-F-I-R-E-S-O-N-G
song.
Squidward! Good! It'll help if you just sing along. Oh, yeah!
Your word is campfire, Jason.
Campfire, makes me just think about, so one of the most important, best things I've ever done in my life, was a summer where I was paid to be a, head counselor, at a, place for, at a camp for severely physically and mentally disabled children and adults. And this was in the, Joshua Tree, area.
Okay.
And we had, this was the Angel Youth Crippled Children's Foundation. And basically they had like, you know, like 15, 18 houses, which were like residential care facilities for, you know, four or five severely disabled children or adults. One of the houses is a kosher house, so all the kids are Jewish, and have a kosher diet and upbringing. They have a house with just kids in it. Then there's just a bunch of different stuff. And this is where they get to go for a week and get to stay at the camp for a week. And they bring in kids from the Boys and Girls Club, and those kids stay there for a week also. So you get to commingle, kids from the Boys and Girls Clubs with these kids that are, and adults that are physically, mentally and physically disabled. And it was amazing. And we did everything you do at a normal camp. We had swimming, we had campfires, we had outdoor activities, art time. We went through a lot of cooks. We had a nurse that was on site every day because of the nature of the camp. We had people from the houses that would stay there for the week also, or, you know, come in and off to help care for the residents that, you know, had special needs and stuff like that. As I said, one of the most rewarding things I'd ever done. But I was still a 23-year-old kid. I met this guy, Larry, who was the other head counselor, there. And, the reason that I was there was supposed to be a female head counselor and a male head counselor.
Right.
But the female head counselor, the way that she was hired was her father, was on the board, for the city of Yucca Valley, and she won, Miss Yucca Valley. The previous year. And, she had talked about how she worked with kids and stuff like that, and, disabled kids and children. And, that was her passion. So somehow she had gotten this job, like, because of winning this thing. And, they were going to have her be the head counselor. But then the guy that was the camp director was like, she doesn't have the capacity for it. Here's the thing is like,
should she have been a camper and not a counselor?
No, she not like that. She had never done any type of job really. And she was going to have to be in control. Like, she couldn't help plan and be, a camp director. She didn't know what was going down.
Look, she was Miss Yucca Valley. I mean, come on.
She was not that. She was a nice girl. About a year later, her and I went out a couple of times.
Yeah, you did.
So it was great. So it was an amazing, amazing thing. But like, one of my favorite parts was, the campfire that we would do every Wednesday night. And that's when we'd have s'mores. And you know, we'd always have like really great s'mores. But the other great thing about it was, how we would do pranks on each other. So the counselors would prank the female counselors. Whether that would be piling up all of the beds into the center of the room and putting all the stuff there. Cause the kids that had the severe disabilities were in a different room than the kid. Like, they didn't sleep in the same room necessarily.
Right.
So, our cabins would get messed with quite a bit sometimes. One time, this is all leading up to the one time story. All right.
Mm-hmm.
and one of my friends, Diana, I knew her from doing theater and stuff like that. And I'd gotten her the job. I knew she needed a summer job and stuff like that. So she we'd done some musicals already at this point and together. And, one night, Larry, myself, and Steve thought it would be a good idea to get the women's clothes, like all their clothes, and tie them all together, and string them across like the wall, like, and
hashtag me too.
They were doing stuff to us, like, you know, like, I mean, it was fine. Nobody, like, except for my friend Diana, she was so fucking upset that I put her underwear and her bras out there like that. I think maybe it was just a bra, but like, she was so fucking upset for like a week and a half, 2 weeks. She would not even talk to me. Like, she was so angry with me. It quickly came to a head though, probably about 3 weeks after this, when somebody put one of the bathroom chairs that we put the disabled kids on to use the bathroom,
sure,
or to shower them, but it had like it got pooped on. All right, it was in the showers, and that's the place where it was kept.
Sure,
somebody had put that on top of not Steve that I was did the other prank with, but Steve the camp director's bed, because he was with us for a week, because we had a lot of people, and he lost his fucking mind that somebody would put a poop chair on top of his bed. poop chair was a line too far, man.
That is a bridge too far. I'm with Steve. Hashtag I'm with Steve.
And that was, we still had a couple weeks left of, but that was hard cut. I mean, we fired a guy for smoking a cigarette. A guy that we'd hired that was a pretty good guy, Jack, like, smoked a cigarette, like, with a 15-year-old. And we're like, dude, we gotta fire you. Like, you were great and you were like, taking care of business, and you're like an ex-con and stuff like that. Like, you're awesome and you're turning your life around.
Hold on.
But we had to fire you because you smoked a cigarette with a kid.
I love how you just slipped in there like no one would notice.
That was when he was a kid.
You're awesome. You're great. You're an ex-con, and now we've got to fire you.
Well, like, he was ex-con, but I mean, he'd done time in like California youth stuff.
So he was an ex-con.
Yeah. But he was a good, like,
youthful offender.
He was a youthful offender, but he was a totally nice guy that was changing his life and wasn't like part of the culture and what he came from, but he totally messed up and somebody saw him give a cigarette to a kid and said something, and we were like, you gotta fire you. Had to let go of somebody else. We had to fire, like, it was awesome though. It was one of the most rewarding experiences of my life.
The firing people or the poop chair?
Just the whole experience, man. Like, honestly, like, see, the greatest thing, I think, more than anything else about that job, like, there's a lot of fun stuff, that like stories and stuff like that. Crazy debaucherous trips to Rosarito, Mexico. awesome trips there. The summer ended, culminated with me going to Burning Man, like, for the first time. Like, it was amazing. It was an amazing point in my life. But like, the whole thing was this thing, but seeing these kids from the Boys and Girls Clubs, like, this was like their opportunity to get away. First of all, this was a camp for them. These kids usually didn't have much money and stuff like that.
Right.
But seeing them like be reticent at first and not necessarily want to be around the kids with severe disabilities, or the people, the guy, you know, the adults with the disabilities.
Right.
But by the end of 5 days, on that Friday, you know, being friends, you know, having had a real experience with somebody that was disabled, and knowing that they're just people, and to treat them with respect, and I don't know, it was just you felt like you were doing something positive for the world. So yeah, that was that's what Campfire makes me think of.
Nice. There are 1,000 improv scenes in there.
Yeah.
There are 1,000 improv scenes in there.
Yeah.
My first would be the kosher cabin. I would be totally down. I would totally start a scene about the kosher cabin.
I don't know. We'd have to have Mel in the scene and Dead.
Yeah. Totally have the kosher. And I would somehow center it around no masturbation because your semen is not kosher.
It's not kosher. It's not a thing. You gotta keep it out of you.
No, you keep it in you. You keep it in you. It's not kosher. It can't come out.
Don't let it come out of you.
Or.
What's the deal with penises?
Look, we're gonna keep this half of the cabin kosher. So if you're going to jerk off, keep it on your side of the cabin because your semen is not kosher. My semen is kosher. Your semen is not kosher.
Is this the circumcision reference? Are you? I'm circumcised, bro. It's totally fine. I'm totally in the club.
Yeah, totally. No. You can't do that though. It's not about what the outside. It's about the inside.
No.
It's about, we eat kosher. Therefore, everything that comes out of us is kosher because everything that kosher in, kosher out.
I see. All right. Well, I will make sure not to masturbate on your side of the room.
Now listen, I also don't want you standing on your side of the room masturbating and shooting it over here.
Well, you didn't say anything about that.
That's why I wanted to clarify.
So you're saying is I can't just keep it on my side and then just kind of flick it over.
No, you have to keep everything on your side. There's a line, the kosher line.
What happens when I need to use the restroom, which is on the other side of the line, to flush down my tissues?
You can have the first stall.
All right.
You can have the first stall. The second stall, the handicap stall, you are not to go in there.
I will take this and say that I've won.
And when you wash your hands, use the sink on the left. And scene. So, yeah, that's quite a thing. And so you got Miss Yucca Valley, did you?
Well, we dated. We went out a couple of times. She wanted to stay a virgin until she was married. So we never had sex.
So that ended it for you. That's kind of a deal breaker.
I was at that point, but we started kind of dating right before I left for New York. So it was kind of like,
whatever. I can tell people I dated Miss Yucca Valley.
Yeah, exactly. I dated, you know.
Listen, I dated a beauty queen.
I dated Miss Yucca Valley.
You get to New York, you're like, hey, I broke up with my beauty queen girlfriend to come here.
In a town of 50,000.
Oh, really? Well, it was from California? Wow.
I'm from California.
Yeah. So you were dating a beauty queen from California? That's amazing.
Yeah, just like, so will you hire me?
Oh my God, I would love to. Would you tell us stories about, she had to be tall and blonde and statuesque, right?
Yeah. This is before Facebook, so this is before people could like call you on your shit.
Yeah, of course.
You could have this whole other life, yes.
Of course. I mean, you still can. You just have to be anonymous on Facebook.
Yeah.
The Russian bots will still know about you, but that'll be about it. All right. So do you have a word for me?
I did. I don't have the cool song to go with it. But I was thinking pancakes. Pancakes is the word I was thinking.
Oh, okay. Pancakes. Pancakes are a very interesting thing. Growing up, my mom was really more about French toast than pancakes. So we didn't really have pancakes that often. So they were sort of a mystery to me growing up. And when I was a little kid, I was an even pickier eater than I am now. So the only thing I would have on pancakes was butter. I would not put syrup on because it had a weird look and texture and I wasn't sure about it.
You would not put syrup on your...
I would psych myself out about foods. And I still do to this day to an extent, but I would totally psych myself out about foods if I looked at them. So like, for instance, my wife just bought some of those cuties.
Oh yeah, the oranges. Yeah, they're tangerines.
They're tangerines. Yeah. Now, and I was thinking, you know, when I was a kid, and I think I remember my mom getting tangerines once and thinking that might be a good idea because they're smaller, they're easier to peel and all that other stuff. And I remember, very vividly, and I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, that she would bring, she had this tangerine. She was like, why don't you just try it? And I said, I don't know. It looks different. And she goes, it just looks like a smaller orange. She goes, it tastes a lot like an orange. And I'm like, I don't know. Is it just like an orange or is it different? And she made the mistake of telling me the truth and saying, no, it's like an orange. It's just maybe a little bit different. Now, I hated grapefruit. So for me, I'm thinking it's going to be like grapefruit. Mm-hmm. So I'm freaking myself out. I will totally psych myself out about these things. With food and with a lot of other things. And people do that to themselves with a lot of stuff. With me, it's mostly food. Like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, but.
Ooh, ketchup. I don't know. Is that Heinz? I'm only going to eat the Heinz.
Yeah, I don't like ketchup. I don't. I do not like ketchup. So back to pancakes. So that's just a little background about food and stuff like that. As I got older and when I got to college, as you might know, when you go to college and you start really drinking hardcore, one of the places you go is, we didn't really have an IHOP around. We had a Denny's. in my first college, about a half hour from Portland, Maine, St. Joseph's College, Camp JoJo's, the mistake by the lake, we would drink, underage, of course, and then after we got drunk, our whole goal in our group of friends, there would always be like three or four of us drinking, is to find somebody who had not been drinking that evening, because we were responsible, to drive us the 20 minutes into Portland to the Denny's at like 2 a.m. so that we could have pancakes. And here was the deal. If you were sober and you drove the group of people into Denny's to get pancakes, the driver always ate for free. That was the deal.
Done.
That was part of the deal. I mean, no one kicked in for gas or anything like that, and there was just a group of drunk people in your car, but you got free pancakes at Denny's.
And it's also when gas was like 50 cents a gallon.
I'm not that old. It was $1.03.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding about that. It was $1.03.
No, I was like $1.25, $1.28 when I was, yeah, in high school.
So. Yeah, it was cheaper in Maine than it was in Vermont where I grew up. But anyway, that was the thing about pancakes. It was like, what are pancakes? To me, then became this, their main function was to soak up alcohol so you wouldn't be hungover. Or in lieu of that, to soak up alcohol so you could throw it up more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Which carried on until a little bit later. And then I discovered the idea of the cartoonish size pancake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones where, it's the size of the biggest plate you've ever seen and they put a stack of them on there for you people attempt to eat them.
Oh yeah.
There's one in Sacramento that was featured on Man vs. Food. He didn't do this challenge, but it was at Jim Denny's. They've got, I think it is called the manhole. And my friend Hootie tried to do this. It's this stack of pancakes. I think it's two or three pancakes that are a good.
They have huge pancakes.
12 to 16 inches across.
Yeah.
And they've got spokes on them that are made of bacon. It's cartoonish. It's absolutely cartoonish. But, pancakes, yeah, it's always, so it goes from, pancakes bring me back to the deep memories from my childhood with my mom, who almost never made pancakes. She would make Bisquick pancakes.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's.
Yeah, it's all right. All the way through. So pancakes for me are about an evolution.
Hmm.
All the way through to, the sweet cream pancakes that Black Bear Diner has, which are a delight. And now they've got bacon pancakes with the bacon cooked right in. I think Jason just came in his pants. They're that good. So yeah, pancakes it's it's an emotion, really. Mm-hmm. Pancakes are emotion for me. It's craziness. I know.
Awesome. That's that's why I chose that word, because I figured that's one of those things that, you know, reminds you of kids. Like, something I try to do for CJ, mm-hmm. Is I try to make breakfast at least Saturday or Sunday, every Saturday or Sunday, pancakes or eggs or something. Just so, like, it's one of those small traditions that I want her to remember.
Yeah, and you started it now, and it's always going to be a thing for her.
Yeah, like
that she'll always remember.
Dad makes pancakes on Saturday morning, or Dad makes, you know, makes breakfast for everyone. So you guys would get drunk in college.
Yes.
And your number one goal, and it was
St. Joseph's College.
St. Joseph's College. Was it just a man's? Was it just a boys' school? Or was it
No, it was co-ed, but you were not allowed to have people of the opposite gender in your dorm room, ever.
I see. So, like, the goal was to get drunk.
Yes, sir.
And not to go hang out or find girls, but to go to Denny's to have pancakes.
Now, sometimes you would get drunk, you would meet up with your friends who were female, and then you would, but the quest, the quest of the night. So your first quest was to get alcohol.
Okay.
Your second quest was to get drunk. And your third quest was to find someone to bring you to Denny's. And I recall many a Friday or Saturday night where we would trek from dorm to dorm to dorm looking for someone who was sober and had a car and a license.
Did you think, so is this the way that it went, like, Joe, you sober in there? You sober tonight, Joe?
Well, we were more subtle than that. We're like, hey, what you been up to tonight?
Nate, you guys came over last night. Are you looking for a ride to Denny's again?
Yeah. I mean, it'd be great if you could.
All right. Listen, I'm totally down, but if you guys get pancakes and throw up my car again.
No. That was just a weird thing.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure it's not going to happen.
Yeah. No. Brian was feeling a bit under the weather beforehand, and now he's not invited anymore.
Okay. Good. I was going to say, I did not want to take Brian.
Brian can't handle his alcohol.
All right. Well, what? Okay. I'll take you guys. I'll get some moon over my hammy.
Cause listen, here's the thing. Yeah. If I start to not feel good, I will, and this is the rule now. If you start to not feel good at all, then you have to go make yourself throw up before you get in the car.
I don't think you need to, you can just tell me that you're going to throw up.
No. We wanted to put some safeguards in place. So that wouldn't happen again, because that just wasn't, what Brian did wasn't cool.
You're right. Thank you. I just don't want you to have to make yourself throw up. Like, maybe you shouldn't drink so much that you're going to throw up.
No. Look, I only had a bottle of 151 and a bottle of Coke.
And we're going to go and you're going to get, are you going to do a plan at Denny's? What are you going to get?
You got to hit the pancakes.
So
I got to soak up the alcohol.
I don't see how this is not going to end up with you puking in my car again.
Because if I feel like I didn't throw up in your car, it's Brian.
Well, I realize it, but you guys, I feel like each time it's like going to be one of you. Like, so.
No.
If you're going to go and get a bunch of pancakes.
Look, we're whittling down the group slowly by getting rid of the people who can't handle their alcohol.
That's a valid point, I guess. If Brian's no longer part of the group, he could not handle it last time.
Well, he drinks with us, sure, but we tell him he has to stay here.
Oh, okay. Well, sure. I guess we can. Go. You got any? You have girls with you or anything like that? Or is it just the two of you?
If you could drive really slowly around the campus, we'll see if anybody is walking and wants to go.
Strangely enough, I'm okay with this.
All right. See, this was before phones in the dorm rooms.
Yeah.
And before cell phones, so on my dorm floor. When I lived in the regular dorm, there was one payphone in the middle of the hallway on each floor.
Oh, my gosh.
And when we moved into the townhouses, which were set up a little bit differently, they were smaller, there was one payphone on each side of the townhouse. So one payphone for six dorm rooms.
Wow.
Yep. And now you, damn kids today can't live without their phone.
No, judges can't either if you listen to last week's show.
Wednesday's show. I was in the dorm room. One time I nearly had to take a bench and pound my way out of my dorm because I couldn't figure out what was going on with that.
One time my toilet was broken, so I had to poop outside.
I put the poop chair on Steve's bed and he was mad.
And then I told Steve that I pooped the chair and he got so upset. It's so funny. The women that put it on Steve's bed, like they did not think it was that. Like, it's clean. It was in the shower. It's clean. He's like, no, I've seen poop get on it before.
Listen, what Steve did what I did with the tangerine. He just psyched himself out.
It's like, I've seen. No, he's like, I saw poop get on it two nights ago. I know there's poop on it.
He's like a nom veteran in one of those 80s movies. I've seen things, man. Things I can't get out of my head.
Oh, man.
All right, Jason, it's time for your next word.
Ooh.
Your next word is punch. Punch. If you're wondering, this is a five-finger death punch.
So, many of you who've ever met me would say that I'm not necessarily the guy you would think would get into fights, especially if you... Even if you listen to me on the podcast, I'm not a fighting type of guy necessarily.
No.
I've only been in a couple of fights my whole life. Mm-hmm. I've been punched a few times. One time I got in a fight with some fifth graders when I was in fourth grade who were beating up on a third grader. Woman, I got a bloody nose and a woman picked me up and took me home, like a mom or somebody. Probably should not have gotten in a car with a stranger.
Made you a man that day.
She saw me get in the fight, and she thought she remembered her telling me that it was like that I did an honorable thing or something. Anyway, that happened when I was in high school. Justin Hadak was pushing me on the arm after I got a flu shot, and there were some other upperclassmen that were there. They were doing it. It was in shop class with Mr. Cooper, and they're all punching my arm kind of and pushing me, and I was like, I just got a flu shot, my arm hurts, you know, can you guys stop it? They all stopped except Justin, and he was the same age as me, same height as me, but he had the hottest sister in high school, and she was a senior. So those guys were kind of cool with her, because they thought maybe if they're nice to him, or he thought that he had to prove something. Anyhow, he kept pushing me. He said, what are you gonna do, asthma boy?
Asthma boy.
Yeah, you're gonna have an asthma attack if I punch you in your chest.
I didn't know that was your nickname.
No, I was actually no neck.
I'd go with asthma boy. I think that's better.
No neck, spunky, and asthma boy. Those are the things I heard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kids are so mean.
Yeah, so let me hear about your bullying. This was going on, and I tell him, that I'll make him stop if he doesn't stop, which leads to me tackling him, and us punching each other, and me punching him. I'm on top of him, and he has a bloody nose, and I had a fat lip, but I wasn't bleeding. Mr. Cooper came out. He was in the room in between the shop classes and their office, and he came out and pulled us off each other. Sent him to the principal's office, and then took me into the back room and said, that kid's had it coming. And totally, like, Justin got suspended for 3 days. Nothing happened to me, and I was fine. So that was like, up to until the next time I got punched, which I'm about to go into, like, that was my full, like, exposure to really fighting or getting punched or anything like that. So when I was about 20 years old. So this is probably about 4 years later, 5 years later. My buddy Jess and I are hanging out with these girls, Nicole and Stacy. And, Nicole had her own place, and Justin lived with his parents, and I lived with my grandparents. So we're hanging out at their house. We got some beer, because Justin knew where to get it. He might have been 21. He's actually 21 already. So we had beer. We had some vodka. We're going to get drunk with these girls. We're hanging out. It was like a Friday night. It's going to be the awesomest shit. I might get laid. Because that's kind of like, he's going there to hang out with Nicole. I was going to hang out with Stacy. So I thought this was going to be an awesome night. So we're there, and we're there for about an hour, having a good time. We're getting ready to play some, like, games. Like, we're going to play something, like some board game or something. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and these three rednecks walk in. This is up in Paradise. So if you know Paradise, that's like Reading of the East. no, I'm just kidding. No. Really, there's no reason to be in Paradise. Like, Paradise is on a road to nowhere. Like, it's up on a butte. And if you keep going up it, you get it deeper and deeper into the mountains until the road ends and you're just in the mountains.
So it's an ironic name.
Yeah. 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 There's Paradise, Magalia, and then, I can't remember the name of the city above that. But anyhow, it's just ridiculous people. So, the guys are definitely upset that we're hanging out there with these two girls because they're there to hang out because they bought a case of Budweiser with them and they're down to party and hang out. So after they realize that the girls aren't into them, they're there for about an hour. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. That's how you get into paradise. Yeah. You are ascending into paradise. So this is, these guys would definitely know that this is not a cool place to be now, right? So, but like, it's like they're getting, like, it's uncomfortable. I think they're going to leave. But my buddy Justin's like, and Stacey's like, hey, why don't we go out to the bar? So we go out to this bar, and, a sports bar where I knew that I'd be able to get into. And we go there, and we have a beer. And all of a sudden we get a call at the bar because their cell phones weren't a thing necessarily yet. This is a 99.
Sure. When people would call the bar and then yell to you.
Yeah.
Is there a Jason here?
Yeah. Nicole is saying that the guys had just left and that they were on their way to Mikey's, which is where we were. So we're like, ah, fuck. Well, so the guys show up there. So they're like following us because we had the one girl Stacy with us, and Nicole just told them that like she's going to bed. Get the fuck out of there.
Right.
So they show up at Mikey's, and one of the guys tries to bring in, like, and this, there's a full-on bouncer out in front. The guy tries to bring in a beer into the bar. The bouncer literally, like, picked it in his hand, hit him, the guy in the head with the beer can as he pushed him away and told him to get the fuck out of there because the guy is not welcome around there.
Yeah, you don't bring sand to the beach, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. So, so we see that. We're just dying. Like, we're just like, oh, dude! We're just so excited. We're, like, living on, like, we're like, oh, man, we're kicking ass right now. We finished our drink. We're like, okay, it's cool to go back to Nicole's. We're going to go back to Nicole's. So we all go back to Nicole's. We're there. And we're there for about a half hour. Then all of a sudden there's a door. It's been about a half hour, 45 minutes. Nicole and Justin are in the back room together. Stacy and I are talking on the couch. All of a sudden there's a knock on the door. So I knock on the door. I go up to it and it's a dude. It's one of the dudes that was there. I left my cigarettes inside. So I open up the door. As soon as I open the door, dude punches me right in the face. Just sucker punches me right in the face.
Oh, dick.
And I just collapse on the ground. Like I remember it getting hit. And I remember being on the ground. And all I remember is Justin running out of the room with, like, a towel over his dick. Like, runs out of the room because he must have just heard me open the door up and just get punched. Like, I don't know. He heard it because he was running and, like, ran after chasing their car out of the place. And the dude just fucking left. Like, dude just fucking left. I had the fucking hugest fucking black eye ever. Like, the most legit, awesomest black eye, like, storybook black eye ever. My grandfather took pictures of it. He was so proud of me. He's like a good Irish boy.
This is your when he got punched in the face.
But
I don't know why your grandfather is suddenly an old-timey prospector miner.
kind of. So that was the time that I got really, really punched hard in the face.
Yeah, that's fun times. Did you ever go to Dolly O Donuts in Paradise?
I did.
Song's way better than the town, it sounds like.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Just saying, I've never been there. If you're wondering, I had to look up where it was in California. If you go to Chico,
yeah,
which is in and of itself kind of in the middle of nowhere, and then head east up into the mountain.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Is where paradise is.
Yeah. And ooh. It catches on fire every 7 or 8 years.
7 or 8 minutes.
And just burns away.
Yeah, well. Yeah,
it's
just down the road from Concow.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, and Concow. Oh, my God. My uncle bought a house in Concow. It was, like, the stupidest thing he ever could have done. Like, he bought a house, like, it was after my grandfather passed away. Like, my grandparents' house was in Paradise proper. Decides he's going to buy a house, like, has this great job working for Nestle, like for their laser division, like working on like lasers that go in your eye and shit like that. Like has been doing that for like 20 years with a GED, like has a great job, quits the job, takes out his pension, everything, buys a house in Concow, which if you look on the map, it looks like it's really close to Paradise. It looks like it's like, you know, 4 miles, 5 miles from Paradise, but
that's as the crow flies.
That's as the crow flies. You have to drive down one mountain and get up onto the other mountain, which is like directly across the ravine. Yeah. So it was one of those things. I was like, oh, such a bad choice. And we all told him.
Let me just really quickly. Right now we're an hour and a half from Paradise. So if I go to Concow from Paradise,
it's amazing.
It looks like it's about 10 miles as the crow flies. However, it's actually 24 and a half miles away, and it will take you 44 minutes to drive. And there's not traffic.
There's no traffic.
There's no traffic. It's just going to take you that long.
On windy mountain roads.
What this map looks like is a dangling wang.
Yeah, it looks like a sad penis.
It does. It's like, aw. The really sad part's when you get to Butte Valley and you're not done yet. Yeah. Like,
yeah. So that's where, yeah, man, it's just a sad place.
And punch.
Yeah.
again, so if you've never been to an improv show, one that starts out with a monologue or something like that, you would hear a story, something like that, and people would take the information from that and do scenes from it.
Yeah.
Like, I might do a scene where my whole thing is just walking around punching, where people greet me, and I just punch them.
Yep.
And then you explore it from there, and you're like, well, Dave's a complicated guy with a simple way of expressing himself. What do you mean? Well, Dave, come on over here.
And then the thing about Dave is Dave would just be a really nice guy. Right. So nice, in fact, that him punching you in the face the first time he meets you, just something you got to do.
It's a term of endearment.
It's like, yeah, oh, well, you know, he punches everybody in the eye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at least you're going to have a great picture out of it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that looks tough. You're going to be able to take that. And when they invent Facebook, you're going to be able to make that your profile picture, and the chicks are going to love it.
You think so?
Oh, I do. I do. Actually, you know what you should do? You should get one of those, you should join that dating thing that they've got in the newspaper.
Oh, yeah. The classifieds.
Yeah. Yeah. And
personals. Personals.
Yeah. The personals. And when they ask for a picture, just send them that.
Oh.
So you look like a tough guy.
Be like, oh, this dude, he knows how to take a punch.
That's right. That's what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for in a man.
So that's what a girl wants, is a guy that knows how to take a punch.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's true. The other side is if you're good at throwing a punch, you'd have bruised knuckles, but no woman is going to feel comfortable dating a guy who holds up a fist with bruised knuckles on it.
Not the right type of woman.
No, it's not at all. It's like, I'm good at fighting. Here's my fist. Yeah. It's like,
Oh, his fist looks like it would just be so beautiful on my face.
I don't understand it. I just wanted to show them I was good at fighting and I could protect them. And I just keep getting these girls with all these terrible self-esteem issues.
Yeah, Tom, listen, people think that you like to punch people in the face with your hand.
Well, I do, but it's an agreed upon contest.
Yeah, but it looks like you would want to hit women with those fists.
No, no.
If you look at your profile, the way it looks like you're punching up into a woman right now. Like if you look on your profile pic, the way that it looks.
I mean, I guess, but I mean, I'm just showing. I mean, I knocked this guy out with one punch.
Right, and that's so cool.
He was just saying the N-word to people for no reason, and I said, "This can't stand."
That was so nice of you, and like I think that's respect. But just showing a fist that's bloodied. Like from being punching people, it just doesn't really make people feel warm and cuddly inside.
Look,
you know?
His tooth went through all the way to the bone.
Yeah, I know. You should probably get some stitches on that.
I suffered for the cause.
I realize you suffered for the cause. That's awesome. That's so awesome. You're dope. You really are. You're a good guy. But
I'll never find love.
You will. It's just like, how about this? Why don't we create a nice profile where We take you, you know, put in like, get you in a suit and a tie and maybe, get a dog and have you play catch with a dog, like in another picture, like said, like maybe some jeans and a t-shirt and you could be playing catch with a dog.
Can I do a pose where I look like I'm punching the dog, but I'm smiling, so I'm clearly not?
No, I think that you might actually get, you probably won't get any, not even women with issues at that point will talk to you. So, just take a couple pics. We'll be fine. All right. We'll find somebody. We'll find somebody for you that loves you, even though you like to punch things.
Skeptical. Skeptical. All right. You have a second word for me?
I do.
Oh.
I do. Alex Jones. No, I'm just kidding.
It's an improper noun.
Oh, okay. So my second one was international.
Oh, international. Now I could tie this into pancakes for the International House of Pancakes, which, by the way, huge letdown when you're thinking it's going to be something really great.
Yeah, they just mean that they roll some of the pancakes up to make crepes.
Here's it. When you grow up in Vermont, in a small town in Vermont, on a farm in a small town in Vermont, you don't get the idea of, I don't know, variety, I guess would be the proper thing.
Especially when you freak yourself out about syrup.
And tangerines. I psych myself out about food. Because I'm just afraid of what it's going to be. And I think there's a partial fear that I'm never going to get that flavor off my tongue.
That makes sense.
Right?
Makes sense.
You know, have you ever bitten into gotten one of those walnuts that tastes like dirt?
Yes.
And yeah. You can't get that. No matter what you do, the flavor won't come off your tongue.
Oh.
And it gets in your teeth.
I ate a grape yesterday that definitely was like not good.
A blackberry will do the same thing. Every now and then you get one of those weird blackberries. Yeah, you just can't get it. Anyway.
So every potential bite is that bite.
Yeah, exactly. If it's an unknown, it's an unknown. Fear the unknown. Also something you learn in a small town. Fear the unknown and everything that's different. You know, my parents at one point did tell me, because they hated cities. They had this weird, irrational fear of cities. They said, you know what? If you ever move to the city, you're going to be all alone, and there's going to be no one to help you, and you're not going to have your parents, you're not going to have your family there, so it's just going to be strangers, and none of those strangers care about you at all.
Whoa.
Right? Here's the thing. If you're in a small, let me clear something up for you. If you're of that mindset, if you're in a small town, and it's not your family, and it's not your friends, they don't care about you either.
Yeah, no, they don't.
They don't. And I did move to a city. I moved to Sacramento. And, I mean, I guess Burlington before that, and Plattsburgh. Not the big cities or anything. But in the city, you have an opportunity to meet such a variety of people. And the thing is, because everybody is in that same sort of situation, there is a bit of a community of people who want to help out somebody who's like, hey, I feel really alone. Or whatever else. It's not hard to find a group of people or an activity that you enjoy. Like, I met a huge group of people who are really great through going to an improv class and becoming part of that community and that group. That's where I met you.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing stand-up. Met Kareem. Virtually every co-host on this show for, you know, since 2011 are people that I met through improv or stand-up, because I picked an activity that I wanted to do and I just started associating with people. And it became that. Anyway, I digress. International. I grew up in a small town in Vermont, 20 miles from the Canadian border. International. In fact, there is a town called Derby Line, Vermont. It's right on the line between Vermont and Quebec. And there's another town right on the other side of the border that basically before 9/11... there is a building that's half on the Canadian side and half on the American side. And people would go back and forth all the time, very casually, internationally. And in high school, once I turned 18, I would go up to Quebec to drink because that was a legal drinking age there. And we would pull up, you would pull up to the border checkpoint, and the Canadian customs agent would say, "Where do you live?" And I would say, "I live in Barton, Vermont." He'd say, "Where are you going?" And I would say, "Del Bar." And I would point because the Del Bar was about 100 yards away from the border. And he would go, "Okay." And I would go through. Go to the Del Bar, have a couple drinks, do a little dancing, talk to some girls. And I would come back. Stop at the border checkpoint. "Where do you live?" "I live in Barton, Vermont." Where have you been?" "I've been at the Del Bar."
"I've been getting drunk."
"Not drunk. I've been at the Del Bar." Mm. And then there'd be a pause where he'd look into your eyes. Be like, "All right, go ahead." That was the extent of international travel, was going back and forth across the border like that. I have never been to another country besides Canada. I have not. That's the extent of my international travel. I've been to Canada. I've been to small towns in Quebec. I've been to Montreal. I've been to Ottawa. And I've been to Toronto. That's it. I've not been anywhere else internationally. I am so sheltered. In fact, until my honeymoon, a little over a year ago, I had not left the continental United States or those areas of Canada. I had not been off the continent at all, except this trip. So I am not international, although international things have fascinated me. I remember when I was in high school, I would, on PBS, they had German soccer. Like randomly, just German soccer was on, and I watched it because it was international and it was different. It was just this, oh my God, this happens somewhere else in the world. It was when you grow up so sheltered that there's no, like my parents, here was their travel. My dad was in the National Guard. He rode a train to Fort Dix, New Jersey from Vermont and back. He went through Grand Central Station. He said it was terrible and he never wanted to go to a city again. The end. My mom went to a Catholic high school, the same one I went to. She had two road trips that they went on because they used to go on trips. They had a junior trip and a senior trip. The junior trip, they went to Montreal. And little tip about nuns. Nuns control you through fear. Like any religion.
Yep.
They base everything on fear. And when you grow up in a very small town and you have no concept of anything, and this is well before cell phones or anything of that nature, and you tell people, especially like someone like my mom, who is, you know, 16, 17 years old, she was the first one in her family to go to high school. And you tell her, Everybody needs to pair up and you need to be back at the bus by this time or we're leaving without you. And your parents will have to come and get you.
Ooh.
And it's a 7-hour drive. So they went on a bus trip to New York and Washington, D.C. And the whole thing, the only thing my mother took as a memory from that, the only thing she ever shared about those trips in high school was about the nuns scaring them that if they weren't back at the bus, that the bus was going to leave without them and that they would be stuck there and their parents would have to come and get them or they would just have to stay there. Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm so sorry.
So for
both your mom and your dad.
Well, and here's the thing. That was the same petrifying fear of travel and going places that they preached at me for years because it was so ingrained in them.
You're like, "Hey, mom and dad, hold my beer. I'm going to do this, but with food now."
Right? Right. Oh my God. I never made that connection before.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
You just switched it.
Oh my God, I've had a psychological breakthrough. I still don't like garlic. And I've tried that. It's bad. Don't like it at all. So yeah, that's international equals fear for me.
Man, is there anywhere you want to go? Like, do you want?
Oh my God, I do. I totally do.
What do you want? If you could just go anywhere internationally, where would you want?
We
want
to go. Well, Leslie's been all over the world. I want to go to Europe. I want to go to Scotland, and I want to travel around Europe. That's probably our you know, when we can do a trip, that's probably going to be the trip that we do, is to do that. I'd love to go to Australia. Leslie does not want to go to Australia because giant spiders. Again, we all have our thing.
She went to Hawaii. They had big fucking spiders.
Not as big, not as scary. Not as big and scary.
I can take her to a place not too far from here with huge tarantulas.
Sure.
Where they just exist.
No, I know. I know. That's not the point. That's not the point. When I bring up going to Australia, her response is, you can go with your friends.
She's ridiculous.
Well, yeah. I mean, we all are ridiculous in our own way about one thing or another. But yeah, she does not want it. She has no interest in going to Australia. I have no interest in going to Asia.
Really? Nothing?
No. No, I'd do Japan. I'd do Japan. The rest of it, no. No. And really, the only reason I'd do Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling. I would do Japan because they love baseball and wrestling. I love baseball and wrestling, therefore, common ground. Yeah. We have common ground. That's what we can do.
I would love to go to Asia. I'd love to go to Thailand and Cambodia.
Sex tourism?
Of course. A little, you know, like a 22-year-old shemale.
They prefer the term lady boy.
Lady boy.
They prefer lady boy. Shemale is
really horrible.
Yeah, it's not okay anymore.
It's not okay.
No, it's not. It's as unokay as the term mulatto. Not going to use it. It's only okay.
I was trying to think of the word quickly, and it came out. I meant to say lady boy. But even then, that's improper.
I meant to say lady boy. I really want to make that the title of this episode.
Go for it.
I meant to say lady. I'm not going to. I'm not going to. But because we're going to call it Jason and Nate Tell Stories. That's pretty much what it's been. All right, you know, we had planned for more, but we're coming near the end of the hour, so let's wrap it up. This was fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
This was fun. We may have to do this with Kareem, make him make up stories. Well, yeah. Not make ups. These are true stories.
They're true stories.
True stories or experiences. Mine was more rambling incoherently about interconnected thoughts. Pancakes. But yeah, we would it was totally a quest to find somebody to walk. We would walk around campus looking for someone who was sober enough to drive us to Denny's to get pancakes.
Man, before you had Uber Eats, that's what you had to do.
Dude, you wouldn't Uber Eat that. That was a 20-minute, that was a good 20-minute drive, 25-minute drive.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that would be like oh, there's a place in Roseville.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine having to find somebody sober to drive you and your two other friends to Roseville to get Denny's?
No.
That's what it was. Because, let me just call this up for you, Jason, so that you can see a rough idea of, get rid of that so I can call it up. St. Joseph's College. Standish, Maine. There it is. Whitesbridge Road in Standish, Maine. Camp JoJo's, the mistake on the lake. There it is. There's the map where the campus was. Here are where some of the dorms are, and there's the loop around that you would drive to look for chicks who might want to go with you to Denny's. right on Sebago Lake. There it is. And Denny's was... Let's see. I'm going the wrong way. I'm not going wrong. Yes, I am going the wrong way. I'm losing my bearings for Maine right now.
There's Portland right there.
Right here. So it was here to here. And as you can see, there's no direct route.
Yeah.
To go there. oh,
man.
And that was the drive. It was... By the way, if you're curious, St. Joseph's College gets 2.5 stars.
They only had 25 reviews.
There's a reason why I transferred, people. There's a reason why I transferred after a year and a half. And the reason is there were not, you couldn't have people of the opposite gender in your dorm room. Oh yeah. And my high school classes were more difficult than my college ones. And my 19 year old brain went, I don't think this is a great idea. A, this is costing a fair bit of money. And B, my college classes should not be easier than my high school ones.
No, that's what you're paying for. Easy classes.
But then as we're taking them, we had all these people like, these are really hard. And that's when I realized that people from Maine are stupid.
Oh, man. What?
People from Maine are stupid.
If I hadn't heard the governor speak and I didn't know anything about the governor, I would say it's not nice to generalize.
On
like
both
that.
Sides.
However, I've heard that asshole talk.
Right? I won't generalize anymore, but, yeah, to be fair, people from Massachusetts are stupid too. it's a lot of dumb people there. They just weren't challenged in high school is really all it was.
That's all it is. That's all it is.
It's really all it was. All right. Well, since it's a show, we still have to end with this.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
It's just a tangerine. All right, let's check in with Marilyn Haggerty. Her article this week, do you fancy yourself a pencil? It's about St. Patrick's Day, and she rambles on about that. We own a pothole, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, skip that.
Skip it.
It's not even important. She says, it seems fitting this time of year, a new book called Songs of Horses and Lovers is out.
It's not Songs of Horse Lovers. It's just horses
and lovers.
And lovers.
It's poetry by Madeline Camrude, a woman who savors the life she knew growing up in the Red River Valley. She finds a hopeful feeling in spring, and she thinks that's why she stays here during the long winter. There's an underlying shadow of the lives of Norwegian settlers in her writings. Her book is published by North Dakota State University Press. It's available online and locally at the University of North Dakota Bookstore.
Guess what? They'll print anybody's book.
It's time for Ask Marilyn.
Uh-oh.
At what time does the puck drop for UND in the NCHC Frozen Face-Off in St. Paul today? Why would you write into Maryland? Do you not have Google?
And what is that even? Why would you do that? I think she makes these up.
Someone asked her that in the office. Someone in the office just went, hey, Maryland, what time does the puck drop? By the way, it's past time now, but it's 4:08 p.m. Before that, there was a pregame party starting at 1 in McGovern's Pub on on 7th Street. A pregame begins 3 hours beforehand. Then they ask her about vanity license plates seen around here, and they don't really translate to the podcast. And the final question, what kind of consulting firm is McKinsey and Company? The answer, I don't know, but I kind of like it. USA Today reports they rank North Dakota first for best quality of life. I don't know, maybe Google them?
Yeah, maybe do some fucking research, Marilyn!
Do they don't have Google? Do they not have Google there? By the way, the cheerful people of the week are Judy Shoemaker and Charles Bridgeford.
Oh, good for them.
Judy and Charles.
Hey, Marilyn, listen, I wanted to just talk to you about your article this week and the questions and answers. listen, McKinsey and Company, really just feel like you should really look more into what you're talking about.
Here's a quick search that'll tell you that they're a worldwide management consulting firm conducting qualitative and quantitative analysis to evaluate management decisions across public and private sectors. They're headquartered in New York, and their CEO is Dominic Barton, and they have 27,000 employees, and they've been around since 1926.
There you go, Marilyn.
I didn't even click on it. That's just the That's just the thing that
That's just typing it into your fucking search bar, Marilyn.
It really is.
Get on board.
It's not really that hard.
You can even use Blackle. You don't have to use Google. You can use Blackle.
Look, Blackle.
Have you ever used Blackle before?
Is that what Kareem uses? let's quickly look for jobs with them, Jason, shall we? Let's see. North America. All over the... Oh, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver. Let's see. Silicon Valley. That's close to here.
Mm-hmm. Sacramento?
No.
Damn.
San Francisco.
All right.
Seattle. You know what? Let's see what... Let's see what turns up in Montreal. There's 51 jobs there.
All right.
One of them is an intern, so no.
Fuck you.
Another intern.
Fuck you.
An agile consultant.
An agile consultant?
Yes, sir.
What if you're a stiff consultant?
I do not know. You will coach clients on a variety of digital topics, including product management, design thinking, engineering culture, and DevOps. You'll leverage your strong communication skills to coach... I don't know. Bachelor's degree in computer science or similar area. Agile projects are a thing. See, I'm learning something.
You don't know what agile projects are?
I don't.
Something millennials made up! Fuck you, millennials! It's called work! It's what it's called! Do your fucking work! Agile project fucking manager.
I'm going to write into Marilyn and see if she can figure out what it is. or I could just do this. It's a methodology.
Agile
project management. It's a value-driven approach that enables project managers to deliver high priority, high quality work.
Yeah.
This becomes a fucking rabbit hole of nothing when you start looking into what bullshit is.
Because it's all bullshit!
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, you lead a team to better results is what we do here.
Maybe that's what Marilyn should be reading.
I think Marilyn's just, you know, trying to ward off the Grim Reaper.
Marilyn, don't go near any hills don't mow any lawns on any hills.
Don't take your love to town. I mean... Don't do any of that.
What's your favorite thing to do? Don't do it, Marilyn.
Don't do it.
You'll end up like Gordy Lowe.
Yeah, especially if it's near a river.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do anything that you like near a river.
No.
That you adore.
It would be a bad, bad situation. All right.
How about some moose soup? Oh, shit.
Don't have that. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the show. Thanks for joining us, sitting through our stories and nonsense. If you want to really lose your faith in humanity, look up one of those Trump podcasts I mentioned on the last show.
Well, yeah, the other stuff on the Dobbs is pretty funny, though.
Look, I know why you love it, because one guy reads the stories and pauses in places, and the other guy is just really indignantly blown away by what's happening. I'm like, that's Jason. I get it. I can't believe what's happening right now. Anywho, don't let it get you down. Just know we've survived worse.
Pay up.
We survived Aaron Carter being a thing.
Yup.
We survived Hitler and Stalin.
Better not tell the police I did it, said Donald Trump. What?
Wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. By the way, this guy got a light sentence for getting caught with drugs in his car, a handgun in his car, parking in a handicapped spot.
Yeah.
Because he's white.
Yeah, he got off with community service.
Right. This guy. Do you know why? Because he's not DMX. DMX would not have gotten community service for that.
Nope. No, in fact, he did not.
Not. DMX never gets community service.
DMX went to federal penitentiary.
Yeah. Yeah, DMX. You know what DMX gets? He gets shafted by the man.
Even after making that cool movie with Jet Li.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, he can call me motherfucker all he wants. His music is so much better than Stitches.
For real.
Well, maybe if they sent Stitches to prison, he'd make better raps.
He wouldn't survive.
I don't know. Anyhow. Been all over the place, and that's all right with me. Have a great weekend, everybody. Classic episode on Monday, and hopefully we're all back together next week. Kareem get his business taken care of.
Yeah.
And remember, let us know what you thought of the episode. Even if you thought it sucked.
Yeah, let me know.
Yeah. Either if you hated it, respond with Stitches, and if you loved it, respond with DMX.
There you go.
Vote now. Yeah. All right, Jason, thank you.
Thank you.
And have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next time. I'm a wolf in sheep clothing. Only nigga that you know who can chill. Come back and get the streets open. I've been doing this for 19 years. Niggas wanna fight me, fight these tears. I put in work and it's all for the kids. But these cats done forgot what work is. They don't know who we be looking. But they don't know who they see, nigga. First we gonna rock, then we gonna fold. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. X gon' give it to you. I just realized I probably shouldn't have this be my karaoke song anymore.